Are there totally any questions or comments? Difference between demons and devotees. Going back to the spiritual world itself is not very important. Rendering favorable service is most important. If a devotee is not interested in simply going back to Godhead, if it is not favorable. So therefore, yes, they got the benefit of going back to the spiritual world, but he did not render favorable service to the Lord in his lifetime. So devotee is one who always positively engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some demons attain liberation which is in Vaikuntha in nature, but some attain liberation in the form of merging into the Brahma Jyoti. So therefore the difference is, you know, devotee of the Lord is always positively engages in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak of Karna in the third canto of the Bhagavad, Uddhav explained this. He said, very beautiful verse. He said, all those warriors who were fighting against Arjuna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they appreciated the beauty of the Lord. Tataiva chanyam naralo kabira e ahave krishna mukaravinda netra pibanto nayanabhiramam parthasraputa padamaparasya. He said, they appreciated the beauty of the Lord, and whatever contamination they had, that contamination was removed by the arrows of Arjuna. And they attained Padamapurasya, the highest platform. And Prabhupada writes, some attained impersonal liberation and some went back to the spiritual world. So therefore, devotee, even if one moment is not favorable to Krishna, for him that is worse than being in the hellish planet. Yes, Shana Prabhu.
Thank you very much. I've answered long-standing questions I had for many, many years. I asked some of the senior men, but about the background of karma, to the point that actually there are devotees here that remain in their case, you know, they are karma. I mean, it sounds very interesting that he appears to be the victim of the situation. But I have another question. I don't know if you can help me to. Some of this is related to the Jain Vija. I don't know if you have any background on that. Some time back I asked this question. It's about Jain Vija. They were actually cursed by the Lord to come into this material world and being forced, in one sense, into. Perform so many abominable activities, like they were describing the Jaya, they were raping women, slaughtering the sages, killing them, eating them, killing people, killing Brahmins. They did all sorts of sinful activities, repugnant activities. Now, the Lord is described because he wanted to express his desire to cause fighting, you know, again. So therefore, he wanted to use his servants to do that. But my question is, who was responsible, really, for all the slaughtering of his sages, for all the sinful activities that they performed? It's really them or is the Lord? Yeah. Why? Is there any background reason why, you know, they have to be forced, you know, to perform all these sinful activities?
Yeah. I remember reading Prabhupada explain three reasons why one falls down. One is inattentiveness in one's spiritual practices. Second is Vaishnava Aparadha, and third is Lord arranges the fall down. So with Jaya Vijaya, as far as my understanding goes, like Chitraketu Maharaj also, he was cursed to become a demon. And because he has the demon's body, the character of demon's body, that he has to do all this stuff helplessly. He is helpless in that body. Even though Chitraketu Maharaj, as a demon, and apparently was devouring everything, but his consciousness was, he never changed his consciousness. Four regulative principles are for the human beings. But if somebody is not in that human form of life, then we can't expect him to follow the four regulative principles. Garuda is the greatest of the pure devotee, but he devours snakes. So similarly, as the demon, one has that body which is made of those kind of elements, they are helpless to do that.
But in the Bhagavatam, there is a clear reference. They emphasize the most by the will of the Lord.
Yeah. That's what I also.
So, the question arises, you know, is the Lord responsible for all this slaughtering, you know, sinful activities that they perform? This is my question. Who takes the responsibility for all the so-called injustice, you know, to the Brahmins, to the cows, to the women, they were raped, you know?
Anybody? Sorry, Prabhu, you were there during those. I think he was there in Vrindavan. They would discuss about Jai Vijay's fall on some articles. Some articles were also written in Vrindavan magazines. Remember that?
Okay. And when Krishna Dharma was doing this class in Vrindavan, but I asked him this question. The verse was all about by the arrangement of the Lord.
Yeah.
So it made me think, you know, was reading, you know, they had all sorts of simple activities. There was nobody more simple than them. So what is very good?
Even if you blame God, you know, He has the power to digest it. Huh? Yeah, but just like devotees say, I have not read Bhishma as a pure devotee of the Lord. All the time he was hiding the Kauravas in one sense. Fighting against the Pandavas, shooting arrows at the Lord. The Lord was getting, you know, he was bleeding. And then it is explained that the Lord was saying that even if you are the most powerful, when you side the demons, you are defeated. So he was given that thankless job of doing it. Just like one devotee explained that Arjuna did not hear, he didn't need to hear Bhagavad Gita. It was Krishna is the one who created that delusion in him. Example is given, the mother pinches the child. And then she pacifies the child. Who pinched the child? The mother only pinched the child. And she is pacifying and she is feeding the milk. So similarly, Krishna pinched Arjuna to act in an illusion. And he was the one who was giving the milk of spiritual knowledge. So similarly, Krishna, you know, I don't know, I have asked this question to Jayadeva Maharaj or Radhanand Maharaj. He said, some things are there in the scriptures to prove that you will not be able to know everything. You have to accept the inconceivable nature. Just like you accept the inconceivable nature of the Lord, certain aspects of the Shastras are meant to be like that. In fact, you know, in the fifth canto of the Bhagavad, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this. He says, fifth canto of the Bhagavad is like a gate. When you read that mango coming from some planets, falling and then turning into the, you know, big chunk of gold. You know, for a logical mind, you can't accept it. You can't, what is this? You know, where I've come here to read all these fantastic stories? Doesn't make any sense. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that is the gate. All logicians, all people who have this reasonable mind, try to figure out everything according to my intelligence, he said, they are stopped there. He said, you can't go further. Because further you go in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, you have to have a leap of faith. He said, you stop here. If you have reason and logic, he said, you stop. Therefore, only reason and logic is applied, according to Kaviraj Goswami, not to understand the intricacies of the activities of the Lord or the activities of this world, but to understand the mercy of the Lord. Only there we can apply our reason and logic that how Lord is so merciful. And Prabhupada explains very beautifully, Hiranyakashipu was killed by the Lord, and the Lord went and sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. Why did he sit? And Prabhupada explains that Hiranyakashipu endeavored so hard to create such a big, you know, kingdom, all the facilities. The Lord was remembering, after all, he is my servant. So let me accept his service indirectly. by sitting on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, even though all the facilities what Hiranyakashipu created for his own purpose, that became devotional service because Krishna sat on it. Prabhupada writes, Lord Narasimha sat and he accepted the service of his devotee.
They support in your assisting that the Abhinava Goswami speaking.
Yeah, Siddhanta, what is that? Siddhanta Bale Siddhanta Kurala, yeah, right.
And also that the Acharya, the purpose of all the Acharya to come in this material is to give an explanation of all the intricacies of the past and the So somewhere there must be a tattva behind you.
But there is also a verse which Keno Upanishad explains that, you know, when you know, when you read Shastras, you will realize that you will not understand. Those who say, I know everything, they don't know nothing. And those who know that I don't know anything, they know everything. Some kind of verse is there in the Keno Upanishad. So therefore both are there. We endeavor hard to understand those intricacy details which Acharyas have given. Like Balaram's pastime doesn't make any sense. Nobody, I try to see that Lord Balaram, you know, taking side of Duryodhan in the Mahabharata, almost he came to kill Bhima. He almost came to kill Bhima. Always sided Duryodhan. In fact, when the peace was going on, when the Lord was supposed to come as a peacemaker, if you read Mahabharata, Balaram starts blaming the Pandavas. That's nobody. I've never heard any. Does anybody commented on that pastime of Balaram choosing the side of Kurus? In fact, there is a devotee also called Duryodhan Guru. He is named after, you know, being a guru of Duryodhan. Somebody initiated. Gauri Prabhu, would like to make some comment.
Madhya Kedamani is mentioned that Jayanti Jayatu, other ecstatic love for Krishna, chose to take the role that they would take. Because, of course, he couldn't be satisfied in the spiritual world because no one ever fight with him. And the demons aren't powerful enough to fight with him. So, of ecstatic love to fulfill the desire of the Lord, they came. So, there may be so many other reasons in the teachings, etc., etc. Literally out of the desire to serve out the deepest love and affection for Krishna, they took that role. And I think even just in a very simple sense, like in the Gita it says, surrender unto me, I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. So it's not a problem for Krishna to manage all the reactions, as you said. You can absorb it very simply, like the sun can purify, you know, urine of the street or whatever. So I think in a very, you know, what to speak of those who are acting out of the highest sense of love. There's also a statement in the Hari Bhakti Vilas that says that even if a criminal activity is pleasing to the Lord, it's not a criminal activity. Where an honest one that is not pleasing to the Lord is a criminal activity. So I think it's in that hierarchy of the different sense of values, because the Lord is the supreme autocrat. And whatever's pleasing to him cannot be considered a simple activity. But from the material perspective, it may look like something else from that mundane morality system. So, that's just a human sense of mundane morality. Above that, the demigods have a completely different program of morality among themselves, what to speak of when we come to the transcendental platform. So I think from that point of regard, I don't see that there was any problem there. And then from another side, perhaps, just as you gave the whole story of karma's previous lives, every single person within that situation who felt any harm or in any way or was distressed in any way, the problem for any story of them that we have no idea of, no long history. But we can certainly be sure that I think simply the mere byproduct of having any proximity to the pastime of the Lord, each one of them was extremely benefited. So I think in numerous ways the situation can be looked at, but I don't think, you know, that there's anything to really worry about. And that he's managing the syndicate ultimately. Surrender to Krishna, he said, I'll take full responsibility for all your path. And that's just for somebody in the beginning of that stage of sin, and what to speak of the complete, you know, brain flavor.
The same principle, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there is a nice story that one time, you know, during some opening of the temple, Saraswati Thakur was supposed to do the aarti. And then suddenly one of his disciples did, without knowing that, you know, Guru Maharaj is supposed to do it. And when he came to know that, you know, Prabhupada is supposed to do it and I have done it, he felt so guilty. He said, how can I do this? I have done this crime. And he could not go and confess to Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that I have done this. And this, he sent another devotee that you go and confess on my behalf. And Saraswati Thakur said, he said, for a devotee when he is rendering service, there is no question of his committing any sin. He said, I have never took it like that. And for a non-devotee, he is always committing a sin. There is no time he is not committing sin. But for a devotee, one has got a good, right attitude. He said, there is no question of his making any mistakes. So therefore, I have not taken it as a mistake. His part.
If you have chosen to take birth 6 lives as a devotee, then they would be not fighting in the Lord.
But they were not very eager to stay for long here, even as a devotee.
Like God said, you know, to give pleasure to the Lord, so very mildly expressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another very important part that in that way, if you remember any old myths from childhood, you know, when they wanted to build up to the final scene where somebody kills somebody else, you know, they really have to present them as really done as criminal activities that have disturbed everybody, that created absolute havoc. So when it gets to the point of John Wayne killing them or whatever, and everyone's like, he got it, you know, he got it. But if it was just we were, you know, three people that got in a fight in the world and we, you know, completely smashed and that and everything, it's gonna go, isn't it? So obviously it had to be set, but you know, so the ultimate killing took place is the obvious.
Śrīla Prabhupāda kī
jāy.